إليه أبويه فقال ادخلوا مصر إن شاء الله آمنين، ورفع أبويه على العرش وخروا له سجدا. فهذا كله كان في شرع من قبلنا. أما شريعتنا شريعة الإسلام فإنها أكمل الشرائع، وخاصة في باب العقائد، خاصة في باب العقائد فإنها كاملة تامة. ولهذا فإن الشريعة الإسلامية حمت التوحيد وحمت حمى التوحيد، فحرم الإسلام الركوع والسجود لغير الله، ومن ذلك الانحناء، الانحناء وطأطأة الرأس، كله هذا لا يجوز إلا لله سبحانه وتعالى. وكل انحناء يقصد فيه التعظيم سواء وصل إلى حد الركوع أو إلى نصف المسافة فإنه ممنوع شرعا إذا قصد به التعظيم، لكن لو كان من باب اللعب أو من باب التدريب فإن هذا لا يدخل في هذا المقام. إذا كان من باب اللعب أو التدريب فإنه لا يدخل في هذا الشيء، أما إذا قصد منه التعظيم فإنه لا يجوز أن يفعله المسلم أبدا.
كيف يكون من باب الألعاب واللعب والتدريب؟
يعني لا علم مثل واحد ناس يلعبون واحد يطمر راسه.
نعم.
أو من باب التدريب يتدرب على حاجة.
نعم. The Sheikh gave a very clear and beautiful answer. He says on a question of doubt, rukur, which is bowing, and sujood, which is prostrating, is only allowed to be given to Allah alone and no one else. The proof of this is a statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he told us to do at-tashahud, which is what we say when we sit down in salah, when we say at-tahiyyatu lillah wa salawat wa tayyibat. The Shaykh said the word at-tahiyyat, that Arabic word, means all types of worship. So he said at-tahiyyatu lillah, all types of worship and acts of honor only go to Allah alone. So bowing the head, whether it's in totally in ruku' with the back is straight, or just basically bowing the head slightly, moving it down, is only to be given to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore it is forbidden in this religion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do this whatsoever. This action of bowing the head and prostrating was allowed to the previous nations. We read in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the angels to bow to Adam, to prostrate to Adam. And that's a well-known incident. Their bowing to Adam was not to Adam himself, but rather because Allah ordered them, and by obeying Allah's commandments, they are bowing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they bowed to Adam. They were not worshipping Adam, though. Additionally, we see that Yusuf, in two incidences, that first one, the stars and the sun, bowed to him. And likewise, when Yusuf became in charge of, became in a very high position inside the government of his time, his parents came in, and they bowed to him. They prostrated to him. And this was acceptable in the religions before al-Islam. But because Islam, the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the most complete religion, specifically in the matters of belief and in the matters of worship which belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not allowed. So, the sharia protects the aqidah. The laws of the religion protect the beliefs of the religion. So therefore, bowing in any way, even moving the hands, head slightly, in karate or outside of karate or in kung fu or judo, any of these martial arts, or in any way to show honor and respect, is forbidden in the religion. So if a person wants to honor or magnify or make this person tremendous in his sight, it is prohibited for him to bow. And there are other actions which are also prohibited in this manner, because all of these acts of worship should be going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it is allowed, as the Shaykh said, that during play or during learning certain types of actions, whatever they might be, if a person bows his head, not out of respect, but for instance, if they are playing among themselves and they happen to be bowing their bodies, moving their bodies down, if they're ducking or something like that, or doing some type of motion, is okay, but not out of respect. And not in the way, as the question came, as in the ways of karate or kung fu. So all those things are prohibited. The next question. Okay. The next question is, can you explain the connection between Iman, Ilm, and Amal Salih? ممكن تشرح العلاقة بين الإيمان والعلم وعمل الصالح.
الإيمان والعلم والعمل الصالح. هذه المسميات كل واحد منها لمسمى مستقل له علاقة بالآخر من وجه وليس له علاقة من وجه آخر، يعني من جهة له علاقة ومن جهة أخرى ليس له علاقة. فأما الإيمان فهو الاعتقاد الذي يستقر بالقلب كالإيمان بوجود الله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر، والإيمان بالقضاء والقدر، والإيمان بما جاءت به الرسل إلى آخره. ويترجم هذا الإيمان الذي في القلب، يترجمه اللسان بالنطق بالشهادتين، وتترجمه الأعضاء بالفعل بأداء الواجبات التي تؤدى كالصلاة والزكاة وغير ذلك. هذا هو الإيمان. أما العلم فإنه لنقصره على، يعني العلم ضد الجهل، والعلم بالشيء، العالم بالشيء يختلف عن الذي لا يعلمه. والعلم الحقيقي هو معرفة الله ومعرفة نبيه ومعرفة دين الإسلام بالأدلة. هذا هو العلم الذي نحن متعبدين به، يعني كل مسلم وكل مسلمة لا بد أن يعرف هذا العلم، معرفة الله ومعرفة نبيه ومعرفة دين الإسلام بالأدلة. وأما العمل الصالح فهو الناتج عن العلم الذي أثاره الإيمان. فإن الإنسان لما آمن وعلم عمل، فهي خطوات، فلا يعمل العمل الصالح قبل أن يعلم. فعند الصلاة مثلا، وما الذي جعلك تصلي؟ هو الإيمان، لأنك لما آمنت صليت. لكن كيف تصلي؟ الصلاة عمل صالح، الصلاة عمل صالح، والزكاة عمل صالح، وبر الوالدين عمل صالح. كيف جعلك بعد أن آمنت تريد أن تعمل عملا صالحا؟ لا بد أن يسبق العمل العلم. لو أردت أن تبني بيتا فإنك لا بد أن تعلم حاجة البيت، عدد الغرف، بماذا يبنى هذا البيت، تعلم أولا ثم تبني. فالبناء عمل، فالبناء هو عمل لهذا التفكير الذي ترجمه العمل. فكونك تعلم أولا ثم تعمل لا بد من هذا. قال الله جل وعلا فاعلم، يعني أولا فاعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله، هذا هو العلم. فاعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله، يعني اعلم أن الله وحده هو الإله المستحق العبادة. واستغفر لذنبك، هذا هو العمل. ولم يقل استغفر لذنبك واعمل واعلم. العلم لا بد أن يسبق العمل، فإذا وقع العمل قبل العلم أصبح خطأ، تصبح الأخطاء كثيرة جدا.
So the Sheikh said that the terms or the words Iman, Ilm and Amal Salih, they all have their specific meanings. In one respect, they are linked together. In another respect, they are dissimilar. They are removed from one another. Specifically, the definition of Iman is those beliefs or those ideas which are firm in the heart, knotted, rooted into the heart. The effect of this belief, and of course the matters of belief or Iman, is belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, belief in the angels, belief in the prophets, belief in the last day, belief in predestination, al-qadr, the good of it and the bad of it, and likewise, Perhaps I missed the point. Perhaps no one's paying attention. And the day of judgment, barakallahu fikum. And this hadith is well known in hadith of Jibreel and Sahih Muslim. So these six topics are repeated again. Belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, belief in the angels, belief in the prophets, belief in the last day, belief in the books, barakallahu fikum, and belief in al-qadr, predestination, its good outcome and its bad outcome. So therefore that is belief, as al-arkan of iman, the pillars of, or articles of faith as they say. The effect of this belief in the heart will cause the person to testify that no one has the right to be worshipped but Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last messenger. That effect would cause a person to say the shahada on his tongue. As far as the body, this belief, these beliefs in his heart, which he ties them and knots them into his heart, will cause a person to do salah, will cause a person to do good deeds, will cause a person to do all for the religion, or to do the actions of the religion. So that is iman. Ilm, or knowledge, is the opposite of ignorance. And that should be clear, and should be clear cut and well known. So if a person has knowledge of something, it's different from the person who does not know what that is. Whether he doesn't know all of it or doesn't know its aspects to it, the specifics. Specifically, knowledge, beneficial knowledge, as defined by Islam, is having knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of himself, to know what he wants of us, the purpose of our creation, what he wants us to do, the acts of worship, to know of his names and attributes, his beautiful names and attributes. Additionally, it's to have knowledge of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was he, when was he born, what is his right upon us, what does he want from us, what is his sunnah. And likewise, it is required to us to have knowledge, or knowledge, correct knowledge, is also defined by having knowledge of the religion. What are the requirements? What is halal and what is haram? Knowledge of the sharia. This is beneficial knowledge. This is required upon everyone to know. The third thing is amal salih, or good deeds, or good action. And this is the fruit of knowledge, and it is the benefit of having faith. Because a person without faith has no good deeds. And that is well known, that only the Muslims, Allah Ta'ala will reward them for their good deeds, as a general rule. And that a person has to have knowledge before doing an action. Do we not hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala statement in the Quran, Muhammad, know that no one has the right to be worshipped but Allah, and then seek forgiveness for your sins? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet to have knowledge, to understand that no one has the right to be worshipped but Allah, and then do an action. Seek repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after you have knowledge, then do some action. So therefore, the first thing which must occur, is a person has to have iman, has to understand the religion, the beliefs of the religion, and has to be firm in his heart. Then the person must have knowledge of what is good and what is wrong. Then the third thing, he must apply it. In this case, you have a good example. It's as if you wanted to build the house. So first you have to understand that you're in need of a house. So you have to believe that a house is important and you need it. So that's your belief. Then you have to have some knowledge as how to build the house. So you'll study or get a carpenter or whatever. The third thing, you actually have to act. Without belief, you'll never get a place. Without knowledge, you won't know how to build it. So therefore, you can never do an action without having belief in what you're doing, and likewise having knowledge on how to do it. So therefore, a person must know these actions, especially with the, let me return back to the second point about having knowledge, that having knowledge of Allah, having knowledge of the Prophet, and having knowledge of religion, a person must have knowledge, and likewise must know the proofs. He has to know the proofs of the Quran, of Allah's existence. He must know the proofs of the general evidence, empirical evidence of Allah's existence. He has to have knowledge of the Prophet and know the major aspects of the Prophet and his right. And with proofs, all of these items are with proofs. And likewise, the major aspects of the religion in the matters of Sharia. He has to have knowledge and proofs. The question is, can you please explain the concept of predestination al-qadr, especially in the context of the hadith of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the four things that have been written for us when we are in our womb? تقول السؤال في القدر قضاء القدر وإن شاء الله تشرحها وكذلك بنظر إلى الحديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن الأربع الأمور كتب على الإنسان في بطن أمه.
الإيمان بالقدر أصل من أصول الإيمان. القدر أصل من أصول الإيمان، ولا بد للمسلم أن يؤمن بالقدر. ما معنى الإيمان بالقدر؟ القدر يعني ثلاثة أربعة أشياء. القدر أربعة أشياء تعدونها بأصابعكم. الأول يعني كل شيء في هذا الكون، كل شيء في هذا الكون سواء من المحبوبات أو المكروهات، وسواء من الطاعات أو غيرها، مر بأربعة أشياء من المخلوقات، من الجمادات، من المصائب، من الخيرات، من أي شيء، مر بأربع مراحل. المرحلة الأولى علم الله، علم الله سبحانه وتعالى الشامل لهذه المخلوقات. اثنين، تقديره لهذه الأشياء كيف تقع وكيف تكون، ما حجمها، ما قدرها، ما عددها، ما صفتها، ما مكانها، زمانها، وهكذا. أولا علم الله السابق، أن الله عالم هذه الأشياء علما أزليا سابقا لا بداية لأوليته، ما ندري متى ولا نحدد. اثنين، أن الله قدر هذه الأشياء، ما يكون في، ما تسقط من ورقة إلا يعلمها، ولا حبة في ظلمات الأرض، ولا رطب ولا يابس إلا في كتاب مبين. هذه مرحلتين، أول علم الله السابق، الثاني التقدير، الثالث الكتابة. إن الله كتب كل شيء قبل خلق السماوات والأرض. ففي الحديث أول ما خلق الله القلم فقال له اكتب، الله قال القلم اكتب، خلق القلم ثم قال له اكتب يا قلم، فقال وماذا اكتب يا رب؟ قال اكتب ما هو كائن الى يوم القيامة. اذن هذه الثالثة. الرابعة ايقاعه لهذه الاشياء، ايقاعه لهذه الاشياء في هذا الوقت، في هذا الوقت. يعني مثلا اخذت هذا الكأس وسقط من يدي فانكسر، الله سبحانه وتعالى علم قبل أن يخلق هذه المخلوقات أني سأخذ هذا الكأس ثم يسقط وينكسر، علم وقدر الوقت الذي يكون فيه هذا الشيء، وكتب ذلك في اللوح المحفوظ، وهو الآن يعلم لو سقط الآن فإن الله يعلم متى سقط. هذا هو الإيمان بالقدر.
So the Sheikh answered this question, and perhaps we'll get a little bit more clarification. The Sheikh says that first thing, iman, belief in predestination, al-qada wal-qadr, is a fundamental of the religion. It is a fundamental of the pillars of faith, or the articles of faith, that a person must understand what it is, must know what it means. Belief in al-qadr, as the Sheikh says, deals with four items. And the Sheikh said we should count them. First thing, play mashallah. Without sugar. Yeah. That first, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the definition of qadr, a predestination is four. Everyone must understand and memorize it, because belief in this matter is a requirement of the faith. So everyone must understand these four points. Item number one, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has complete and total knowledge. Item number two, that he destined and measured. That means how and when a certain thing will occur. So everything in the creation goes through these four stages. Stage one, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew of it in totality. Item number two, or part number two, that he defined and destined and measured when and how much will this thing occur. The how and when of this item. Item number three, or part number three, that these items, he created a pen to write these things down, as in the authentic hadith, where the Prophet ﷺ said that the first item, or the first thing which Allah created, was the pen. And he told the pen to write. And the pen responded back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what should I write? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the pen to write everything that would occur until the day of judgment. The fourth thing, which is required, part of the definition of faith in qadr, is that this thing will actually occur. The actual occurrence will occur. So, as the Shaykh said, give an example of the water dropping, as you saw. So, before this event could occur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew of its occurrence. Item number two, that He defined and destined when this was going to occur, at a certain time, a certain date, how much, what type of glass was it, what was in it, how was it going to fall, was it going to break or not break. Item number three, that these items were written down in a book, Lawh al-Mahfuz. And item number four, that this thing actually occurred. So every single thing in this world, every single thing in this creation more generally, it goes to these four different stages. So let us follow up with specifically Amma. أسوأ كان أظن موجه إلى أن
عددهم كم الآن؟
ماذا؟
العدد كبير.
نعم تقريبا 30 ما يزال عن 30 أو 40.
رجال كلهم.
كيف؟
كلهم رجال.
نعم نساء وراء خالص.
يعني يسمع الصوت.
نعم. The question is, if the sisters can hear, they should say nothing, and if they cannot, then they won't be able to say anything else either. Can everyone hear, inshallah? Could someone investigate if a person has a wife to make sure that they can hear properly, please? Okay,
Alhamdulillah. وأن الله سيخرج من سلطان الله سبحانه وتعالى. أظن السؤال كان حول هذا.
وين
موجود؟ إيه نفس السؤال. كان نفس السؤال. يعني علاقة القدر وكتابة الملك في بطن هل يكون سعيد أو شقيق، وهل هذا يجبر الإنسان على المعصية أو شيء؟
هذا السؤال مهم أو تابع السؤال السابق. أولا الملك عندما يكتب في بطن وعلى الجنين وفي بطن أمه فإن كتابته هذه يأمره الله بها، فيقول يا ربي ما الرزق وما الأجل وهل شقي أو سعيد. وهذه الكتابة التي يكتبها الملك هي التي تؤخذ من اللوح المحفوظ التي كتبها الله، كتبها القلم قبل أن تخلق هذه المخلوقات وقدرها الله وعلمها. فهذا بالنسبة لما يفعله الملك، يعني يأخذ من اللوح المحفوظ أو يوحي الله إليه اكتب رزقه وأجله وعمله وشقي وسعيد. أما أن هل الإنسان ما دام أن هذه الأشياء مكتوبة هل هو مجبر أم لا، يعني هل له اختيار أو لا؟ الحقيقة أن الإنسان له اختيار، ليس بمجبر. لكن الصخرة لو سقطت من على الجبل فإنها مجبرة، ما لها؟ لأنها ليس لها عقل، ليست مكلفة، ليس لها عقل. فالصخرة عندما تسقط من رأس الجبل تتحدر هذه مجبرة، الله سبحانه وتعالى هو اللي جعلت تعمل هذا العمل، هي مجبرة ما تمنع نفسها وليس لها اختيار. أما الإنسان فإن الله ميزه في قوله جل وعلا ولقد كرمنا بني آدم وحملناهم في البر والبحر ورزقناهم من الطيبات وفضلناهم على كثير ممن خلقنا تفضيلا، وقال فألهمها فجورها وتقواها، أي كل نفس ملهمة الفجور والتقوى. فالنفس لا تأتي، الإنسان لا يأتي لفعل الخير إلا ويعلم أنه خير، ولا يفعل الشر إلا يعلم أنه شر. فمثلا لو قتل إنسان يعلم أن قتل الإنسان شر، ولو تصدق بمال فإنه يعلم أن الصدقة إيش أنها خير، وله عقل يختار. إنا هديناه النجدين، يعني طريق الخير وطريق الشر، هديناه إلى طريق الخير وهديناه إلى طريق الشر، بمعنى هديناه يعني دللناه على طريقه، فقلنا هذا طريق الشر وهذه أسبابه، وهذا طريق الخير وهذه وسائله. فإن أردت الخير أنت عندك عقل، خذ بالأسباب اللي تؤديك إلى طريق الخير. إن أردت خلاف ذلك تأخذ بالأسباب الأخرى فتؤدي إلى طريق الشر. عليكم السلام. أهلا. حسنت ما شاء الله.
بدون سكر. شكرا. إكرام الأمريكان أم عظيم.
أيوة.
تفضل.
أنا يكفيني واحد.
لا ما شاء الله. لا أشوف مثلك. أوكي. Okay, fine. أترجم هذا التصريح وأترجم هذا.
نعم.
أنا أترجم التصريح وشوية.
لا خلاص يعني خلاص.
زين. Okay, طيب صح. So the Sheikh answers that verily. I mean, there is a hadith, and perhaps the author of the question was referring to the question where the Prophet ﷺ said that verily, when the child elapsed a certain amount of time, I believe it's 120 days, according to the hadith, that verily an angel descends and writes four matters for this child. First thing that it writes is, will this child be a male or a female? Will this child be rich or poor? How long will the child live? And additionally, will this child go to paradise? Will he be happy or sad, i.e. will he go to heaven or hell? These matters are not to be understood that they are being forced upon the individual, but rather the angel asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what should he write? And this knowledge of what is written is taken from that original book which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote down everything which was going to occur. So the question comes around the issue of, because Allah wrote these things down about the person, does this mean that the person is forced to become a Muslim? Does this mean that the person is forced to become a disbeliever? The Shaykh says, without a question of a doubt, that is not the case. And he said, verily, everyone should know that we all have a choice. Mankind has a choice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave man a mind, and therefore they have a choice. Additionally, the jinn also have a choice, as is well known. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in many verses in the Qur'an, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا in Surah Ash-Shams, that verily, there is whispering, or there is the person is encouraged or is whispered to him to do good and evil. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in many verses, whoever wants to believe, let them believe, and whoever wants to disbelieve, he should disbelieve. مَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنُ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرُ. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Balad, in Juz Amma, وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ, and we have guided mankind, or man, to one of the two paths. Okay? Or has guided him to two paths, which means that Allah has shown the person what is right, the path of Islam, and what is wrong, the path of disbelief and kufr. So therefore, a person has a choice and can make up his own mind and decide what he wants to do. Isn't it true that everyone, when they want to do something good, they feel that it is good? And when a person is about to do something bad, he feels that it's bad? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in the person a feeling as to what is good from his fitrah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the fitrah as a way to guide a person. So therefore, what is being written is what the outcome of the person's actions, and is not forcing the person to do that. But rather, since Allah, as we said in the first point, in the matters definition of qadr, the definition of qadr, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew everything in totality. So he knew that this person would choose disbelief, and therefore wrote that this person would be a disbeliever and go to the hellfire. And he knew that this person would listen to about the sunnah and become a Muslim, and therefore go to paradise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not force a person into these matters, but rather the person choosing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's going on. Additionally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drives the people to goodness and drives the people to evil, depending upon their nature. So, this is unlike, for instance, like a fruit on a tree which drops and has no choice in the matter, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forces it to drop. As far as a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets the person choose, presents to him the proof, and the person chooses whatever of the two paths that person wants to. The next question, and I believe it related to qadr, the question is, please explain the difference between qadr and qadha. And the question, السؤال, ممكن تشرح الفرق بين القدر والقضاء.
القدر والقضاء هما سواء، كلمتان مترادفتان، قل ما قضى الله أو ما قدر الله بمعنى واحد.
في تفسير أن يقول بعض العلماء أن القضاء ما كتبه سبحانه قبل ما يسبق، قبل ما حصل، أن القدر بعد الحصول الأمر، لربما هذا هو يقصد.
لا لا لا، هو القضاء والقدر بمعنى كلمتان مثل قضاء وقدر. تقول هذا، إذا حصل شيء تقول هذا قضاء وقدر. قضاء يعني قضاه الله ونفذه الآن، وكان مقدرا في السابق، فهما كلمتان متلازمتان.
The Sheikh says there is no difference in the terms. قضاء and قدر refers to the same exact concept. in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destined something and it occurred. So a person can say qada and qadr, or both, or singly, it means the same thing. Jazakallah khair, Shaykh. The question is, if everything is written before our birth, then what are the things which are out of our control? Or which are in our control? And perhaps we already answered this question.
السؤال ربما قريب من السابق أن لو قلنا أن كل شيء كتب على الإنسان أو أن الله سبحانه علمها وكتبها فهل قبل ما ولد الإنسان فكيف له اختيار أو هل له اختيار وكيف نفهم هذا الاختيار؟
نحن قلنا أن الاختيار على الله أن الله أعطاك العقل تختار تعلم أن الحسن حسن وقبيح قبيح. يعني مثلا هذا كأس فيه ماء حار وهذا الكأس فيه ماء بارد. الحار أحيانا في بعض الأوقات تريد الحار وفي بعض الأوقات تريد البارد. ما الذي جعلك تختار البارد في وقته والحار في وقته؟ ما الذي جعلك تستعمل البارد لغرض والحار لغرض آخر؟ إنه العقل جعلك تختار لك اختيار. لكن لو جاء طفل صغير لربما غمس يده في الحار أو أخذ الحار وشربه، ولو جاءت بهيمة أيضا نفس الشيء، فما يدري حتى يعني يحس بالحرارة. لكن أنت بما أنك عندك عقل لك اختيار، فهذا معنى أنك تختار. تختار الصلاة لأنها طاعة لله، وتترك المعصية لأنها طاعة لله، تعرف أنت. فالاختيار بموجب وجود العقل، ولهذا المجنون لا اختيار له لأنه غير مكلف. فاقد الأهلية، السكران، النائم، هؤلاء يفقدون الأهلية فإنهم لا اختيار لهم.
The Sheikh says that in the same way that if you have hot and cold drinks in front of you and that you choose one of the other, what is that item, what is that object which allows you to choose between this or that, to choose something over the other or want to choose in the first place? It's one's mind. So in the same way, it's an example of guidance and falsehood. So therefore, the mind, through the mind, a person decides what he wants to do. So this is how, even though something is written, a person has a choice. As we said before, that it's writing, it does not force a person to do this, but rather it is a person's choice. Unlike a child, for instance, who is not able to distinguish between hot and cold, and would person perhaps throw their hand into a boiling kettle and would not know. Or perhaps a person who is asleep, or a person who is became senile or something, he has no choice of what he's doing, because he does not understand. But as for a person who is sane and has his senses, his wits about him, and therefore he has a choice. In the same way that a person would choose this drink over that drink, or this over that, the same way a person chooses guidance over misguidance. Question is, if we are from the seed of Adam and Eve, would that in their times they were marrying brother and sister? Please explain.
إن في أن أولاد آدم تزوج بعضهم بعض الأخ والأخ فكيف يجوز هذا؟
الجواب أن آدم عليه السلام حين أنزله الله أهبطه الله إلى الأرض ليس في الأرض إلا هو وزوجه حواء، ولا بد أن يتناسل البشر عن آدم وحواء. فكانت حواء تحمل في البطن الواحد ذكرا وأنثى، فأمر الله جل وعلا آدم في شريعته التي أوحاها إلى آدم أن زوج ذكر البطن الأول لأنثى البطن الثاني، وأنثى وذكر البطن الثاني لأنثى البطن الأول، وهكذا. يعني فلا يباح له أن ينكح أخته التي ولد معها، وإنما يتزوج الأخت التي من البطن الثاني. فكان كل بطن يعتبر كالناس الأجانب من بعضهم، يعني تعتبر القرابة بين الاثنين الذي حمل بهما، وأما البطن الثاني فكأنهم أجانب منهم. وهذا شرع الله الحاجة، فلما كثر البشر توسع التشريع.
The Sheikh says that in the Sharia of Adam عليه السلام, it was slightly different from our situation, in that since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Adam and sent Adam and his wife Hawa to the earth, that Hawa, when she would become pregnant, she would become pregnant with twins or with two children. So these two children, it was forbidden for them to be born a male and a female. It was forbidden for these two to marry one another, and likewise it was required upon the male of the first birth to get married to the female of the second birth, and the female of the first birth to get married to the male of the second birth. So therefore, they did not marry from one another, but rather, this was Allah's way, subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Adam, and he revealed this way to Adam, how to multiply mankind. يقول هنا, the question is, the Quran addresses angels and takes Adam alayhi salam or mentions him in that group. He is addressed as an angel, but is not. Why was he mentioned in that group? And the other question is, was Adam in heaven and then sent down to earth as a punishment? Please explain.
سؤال أن حول آدم أن الله سبحانه وتعالى وصف آدم مع الملائكة ووصفهم جميعا. فهل هو كان من الملائكة وإن لم يكن فلماذا الله سبحانه وصفهم وقص علينا القصة حينما كانوا معه؟
كون آدم من الملائكة.
آدم
هو من الملائكة.
سؤال وصفوا كلهم جميعا.
آدم ليس من الملائكة. آدم خلق آخر. آدم خلق من الطين. والملائكة خلقوا من النور. والشيطان خلق من النار. ولهذا إذا غضب الإنسان فإن الغضب من الشيطان فليتوضأ. فإن الوضوء يطفئ الغضب. وكون آدم عليه السلام مع الملائكة فنعم, كان أول ما خلق الله كان في السماء وليس في الأرض أحد من بني آدم. فلما ارتكب الذنب وأكل من الشجرة أهبطه الله إلى الأرض وتاب عليه, فتلقى آدم من ربه كلمات فتاب عليه إنه هو التواب الرحيم. فإذا آدم والملائكة وإبليس كل منهم عنصر غير عنصر الآخر.
والسؤال لله سبحانه قص علينا قصصهم أن آدم أن الله علم آدم أسماء وكانوا مع الملائكة, هل نعلم الحكمة في ذلك؟
الحكمة أن نعلم كيف بدأ هذا المخلوق اللي هو أبونا آدم, كيف بدأ الحياة, كيف تحيات حياته, ما هي المواقف التي مر بها والمراحل التي مر بها, وكيف أهبطه الله الأرض ثم تاب عليه, وكيف تناسل مع أولاده, وهكذا. إذا الحكمة يقص الله عليه القصة وعطينا خبر حتى نعلم من ما هو أصلنا, من أي شيء خلقنا. خلقنا ماء مهين, لكن آدم أبونا خلق من الطين. إذا نحن أولاد آدم, كلنا أولاد آدم. هذه الحكمة أن نعلم هذا الشيء, فإنه شيء عظيم إذا عرفناه. وكيف مرت هذه الأمور بآدم عليه السلام.
The Sheikh answered both questions without me telling him the second part of the question. So the Sheikh said that verily Adam is a creation different from the jinns and different from the angels, and that Adam was created from clay, and that the jinns were created from, or Shaitan was created from fire, and the angels were created from light, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about them so to inform us about the creation of our father. Now, our father was created from clay, it were created from water. And that to know of his beginnings, and that he was disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by eating from the tree, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished him and put him on the earth, and that Adam repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it said in the Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repented upon and forgave Adam. So all of these things inform us and tell us very important issues. Additionally, the Shaykh mentioned a good point on fiqh, on the side point, in that when a person gets angered, and anger is a type of heat or a type of fire, that is a fire similar to the creation of the jinn. So therefore when a person gets angered, he should make wudu, and that removes the heat of the moment. Sual huna. Can the Shaykh please mention the proof for his statement about Adam and Hawa and their children? Specifically what? Which proof? Oh.
هل تذكر في القرآن آية أن حواء كانت تولد في الولادة الطفلين؟ هل تذكر الدليل على هذا؟ حرصنا على طلب العلم شيء.
نعم. ليس في القرآن ما يدل على أنها تأتي بولدين يعني دليلا نص، ولكن فيه احتمال، فيها أدلة محتملة. وذكر كتب السير والمغازي والتاريخ هذا الشيء. وأما في القرآن فإنها يعني قال الله جل وعلا: واتل عليهم نبأ ابني آدم بالحق إذ قربا قربانا فتقبل من أحدهما ولم يتقبل من الآخر قال لا أقتلنك قال إنما يتقبل الله من المتقين. فهذه معركة جرت بين قابيل وهابيل أولاد آدم عليه السلام، قابيل وهابيل، وذلك بسبب أن قابيل أخته جميلة وهابيل أخته العكس. فقال فأراد أبوهما أن يزوج يعني على طريقته الشريعة اللي شرع الله له أن يزوج هذا البطن أنثى البطن لهذا ذاك البطن. فعارض قابيل وقال لا، أختي بيضاء وجميلة، لا يمكن، أنا أريد أن أتزوج أختي التي ولدت معي. ثم تهدد أخاه وقتله كما قص الله علينا في القرآن. وقال الله جل وعلا: والذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وجعل منها زوجها ليسكن إليها فلما تغشاها حملت حملا خفيفا فمرت به فلما أثقلت دعوا الله ربهما لئن آتيتنا صالحا لنكونن من الشاكرين. فليس هناك دليل من القرآن أو من السنة، إنما تذكر هذه الآثار أن آدم عليه السلام زوج أولاده على هذه الطريقة التي ذكرنا. والقضية يعني ليست حكما شرعيا حتى نلح في معرفتها، يعني معرفتها لا تقدم ولا تؤخر.
The Sheikh basically gave an explanation as to why this view is prevalent, or why he explained it. But the last part perhaps should be said, this last thing should be mentioned before I say the first part, in that this issue of and the proof of it, or the matter itself, is not too important, or it is not of major consequence to anyone. In that if a person knew the answer to this or did not know it, it would not cause a major problems to the person. But as Shaykh said, there is no specific verse in the Quran or a statement of the Prophet pointing to this, clear-cut saying this occurred. But rather it is statements made by the various scholars, and they base it upon some an understanding of the verse in the Quran. The verse talks about how the two sons of Adam, Qabil and Habil, they were fighting, and that one of the brothers wanted to marry the sister of the other. And that the verses talked about a problem that they have. Okay? And that this, what they did was a sin, or something like that. So therefore, this alludes to the fact that since they were all brothers and sisters, when they came from the same mom and same dad, Adam and Hawa, that what they did was wrong. So therefore, because of these verses and the statement of the scholars, okay, even though there's no direct proof from the Quran or direct proof from the Sunnah, it leads to this conclusion, or it verifies, or it leans, has more credence to what the scholar said. But as the Shaykh said, it is not of a crucial matter for us to know that, inshallah. Yeah. Okay.
I just want to remind you that these questions are particularly for the concept of Aqidah, the concept of Iman, the questions of creed and belief. Any questions about fiqh will be answered later on this evening, inshallah. So we're not just throwing the questions to the side, okay, inshallah.
So a lot, some of these questions here are about Sheikh Salim's lecture about the different jama'ahs and ways of da'wah, and those really aren't in the matter of belief. So inshallah, I'm going to take those questions and pass it to Sheikh Salim back so he can address them and finish up his lecture. So the question is, many people interpret the ayah in Surah Az-Zukhruf, verse 84, هو الذي في السماء إله وفي الأرض إله وهو الحكيم العليم. And then to translate, generally this verse we know in the Arabic language, perhaps the Shaykh will mention this. So it goes on to say, there are two deities that are worshipped on earth and heaven. How can we explain this to the people, and what does this really mean? يقول في تفسير آية هو الذي في السماء إله وفي الأرض إله وهو الحكيم العليم فالله أن ترجم إليهم أو أن القرب في كلمة في أنه داخل وربما في معاني أخرى.
قوله جل وعلا هو الذي في السماء إله وفي الأرض إله يعني أنه إله لمن في الأرض وإله لمن في السماء. هو الذي في السماء إله وهو الذي في السماء وفي الأرض إله يعني هو إله لمن في الأرض وإله لمن في السماء، وليس معناه أنه داخل، فإن هذا تفسير غير صحيح. الله جل وعلا على خلقه على عرشه فوق عرشه بائن من خلقه لا يخفى عليه شيء من أموره.
وكذلك قال أن هل يقصد أن في إلهين؟
لا، هذا هو يعني هو إله، وليس معناه أن إله هنا وإله هناك، ولكن هو الذي في السماء إله وفي الأرض إله يعني هو إله في الأرض وإله في السماء، إله لمن في الأرض وإله لمن في السماء.
So the Sheikh said that this word fi, that he's an ilah, he is a deity or he's the one to be worshipped or he's worshipped in the sky and in the earth. It's not mean actually physically that he himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is by his essence in the sky and his essence in the earth. Nor does it mean, as the person perhaps thought, that there are two deities, there are two gods, and one is in the sky and one in the earth. But rather, the word fi in the Arabic language has many meanings. One of them means actually in. The other meaning, which this verse uses, is that he is the deity of those who are in the sky, and that he is the deity of those who are on the earth. So therefore, he is the Lord and he is the deity and the one to be worshipped of every single thing, every single creation. As for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is above the creation, upon his throne, not in his creation, away from his creation. But of course, as we know, that he hears and sees and has knowledge of everything. The other question is, could you explain the creation and the role of Iblis, and if Iblis had not been created, would man only choose good deeds? سؤال حول إبليس وخلقه وإن لم يخلقه الله إبليس فهل كان أو هل الإنسان إلى الخير؟
الله سبحانه وتعالى خلق الخلق كله، خلق النافع والضار، وخلق الخير والشر. ما أصابك من حسنة فمن الله، وما أصابك من سيئة فمن نفسك. ثم قال كل من عند الله فما لهؤلاء القوم لا يكادون يفقهون حديثا. فما كان من قبيل الشر فإن الله خلقه وكونه كونا ولم يده شرعا، وما كان من قبيل الخير فإن الله أراده كونا وأراده شرعا. فإيمان المؤمنين اجتمعت فيه الإرادتان كونية وقدرية، يعني أن الله أراد منهم قدرا أن يؤمنوا وأراد منهم شرعا أن يؤمنوا. وأما كفر الكافرين فإن الله أراد منهم كونا ولم يرد منهم شرعا أن يكفروا، بل أمرهم بالإيمان. وهكذا بالنسبة لإبليس فإنه من ضمن الشر الذي خلقه الله حتى يظهر الخير، ولو لم يوجد الشر لم يظهر الخير، فبضدها تتبين الأشياء، بضدها تتغير الأشياء. فيعني هذا ابتلاء وامتحان من الله سبحانه وتعالى لعباده حتى يتبين من يحيى عن بينه ومن يحيى عن بينه وعن علم. فهذا يعني بالنسبة لخلق إبليس أو خلق الشر، الله أراده كونا ولم يحبه ولم يريده شرعا، وإنما أراده كونا.
So the Sheikh says, as far as evil, and as far, this is the last question, we have to go to Salah. So the question, the answer to this is that that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he created evil and when he created good, he allowed the evil to be created and he created it, and he's not pleased with it at all. And that he created good and he allowed it to be created and he created himself, and likewise he is pleased with it. So the efforts, or that the devils from jinn and mankind are here, is only a test of the believers and test of the people. Allah is not pleased with them, but he allows them to do their mischief for great wisdom, so that the good people will be distinguished from the bad people, as in the Arabic expression, that the opposite shows the benefits of its opposite. So if you know the opposite of something, you know, or if you know the evil of something, you know it's good. So therefore, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creating the devils and creating evil, it allowed for the good people to arise. It allowed for many of the rules of Sharia to occur. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not, as we said before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the person a choice between good or evil. So definitely, the devils and jinn, they encourage the people and they whisper the people to do evil, but likewise a person, as the statement in the law says in the Quran many times, that the person, if he does any evil, it's from himself. So definitely the person has a rule, and a person does, on his own volition, choose evil, and it comes to him perhaps from the devil directly, or perhaps from his own soul. And now it is time for Salah. We thank Sheikh Saleh for his attendance.
نشكرك كثيرا يا شيخ.
الشيخ says جزاكم الله خير.
وإن تمكنت أتي مرة أخرى إن شاء الله أفعل.
And the Sheikh, if he's able to come another time, he will definitely do that. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.